Well, those of you in the Asheville, North Carolina area, two seats on the bottom level just opened up. Sounds like I'm doing an auction, but two seats have just opened up if you want to grab those before they go. The other ones opened up, they were gone in 5 minutes. But I think what the theater is doing is also opening up a couple little areas every once in a while. But the two seats on the bottom level and then the rest on the balcony. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let's go back to the phones. We've got open lines for you for the rest of the hour. Tom in the Bronx in New York, welcome to the show. Go
Yes.
ahead, Tom.
Hi, George. I'm here again.
Hi there.
I like to say that one time I hit $1.5 million in the lotto, and I used to work the midnight hours, so I was in the restaurant after work, and I had something, and I had a cup of coffee, and I took out the ticket. I had the newspaper, and I looked at the winning lotto numbers,
All right.
and I had all six numbers.
Whoa.
And wait a minute, but you know what happened? I was so tired. I was so tired. I must have put in like 10 hours that day. They kept me overtime. And when I looked at the numbers, I said, "Oh, I hit this." But when I walked outside, I was so used to losing that I was so lightheaded. I took the ticket and I ripped it up.
No.
And the million pesos in the garbage can. And
Oh.
I went for the subway and came home.
How much was that worth?
$1.5 million.
Oh.
And I ripped up the ticket,
Oh,
literally. I'm not, it's
no.
not a baloney story. Any story I've ever told you is not baloney, it's the truth.
Oh my gosh. Did
Yeah.
you go crazy?
No, I came home, I went to sleep, and when I woke up a little past noon,
It hit you, right?
it hit me, and I said, "I did something wrong today." I said, "I must have sent mail to the wrong station or something." And then I looked at the paper I had, and I said, "My gosh, that was it." I took that ticket and I ripped it
Tommy.
up. They never found out who it was or anything who won that.
It was you. Oh man. And it's too bad they don't honor the ticket, because I guess they don't know who you are. It's not like it's registered. You got to have the ticket in order to get the money. Howard in Vancouver, Washington, west of the Rockies. Howard, thanks for calling. Good morning to you.
Hello, George. Good to
Hi.
talk to you again.
Thank you.
Tonight you're talking about pet peeves.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I've got a few. Everything from telemarketers to bicyclists. But tonight I'd like to talk about some of the charitable organizations that I donate to.
Okay.
Every year I donate a little bit of money to a couple of them, and I'm trying to make a few points with the big guy, you know. And
Every dime helps.
what I've discovered is that when you do that, about a week later, you find yourself overwhelmed with all kinds of requests from all sorts of different organizations, and they're selling
Your name. Oh.
your name and address to different ones. And if that isn't frustrating enough, the one they originally had donated to continues to send you stuff. You know, I've got a stack of address labels a foot high. You know, I could mail letters for the next 100 years.
Yeah, that's right. They send you these free stickers, don't they?
And then the calendars. I've got a whole bunch of calendars, and it's kind of frustrating because it seems to me that I'm not donating a huge amount, but whatever it was that I sent them, they've pretty much used it up, sending all this junk back to me.
I can't imagine, Howard, how these places make money, even in donations, by sending out all these free stickers, address labels to everybody.
It's got to cost money.
It's got to.
But that's my pet peeve. I just thought I'd throw that at you tonight.
All right, thanks for sharing that with us. Yeah, I mean, how many of us have opened up our mail and you have all these free return label stickers? Your name, your address. They're really cool. You put them on envelopes, right? And very rarely do we send money in because of them, and we just keep the stickers. But how do they make money doing that? That's a lot. Let's go to Des Moines. And Allie is with us. Where are you, Allie? What state?
I'm in Des Moines, Washington.
The other one. That's right. Okay.
Yes, and where I live in a condo right on a cliff above the Des Moines Beach Park in the Des Moines Marina, we have been invaded by thousands in the beginning, and then it's into the hundreds, sometimes into the thousands of Pokemon Go players.
Oh, jeez.
So it's been very interesting what has progressed here.
A game I still don't get, by the way.
Well, neither do I, because I don't own one of those smartphones.
Well, I have that. I love that. It's like my portable office, but I don't get that game, and I don't play it, and I don't have time for it.
Well, it's really become an issue here. And I, on January 1st, ended 12 years of being elected official in this town as a water commissioner.
Okay.
So I kind of carry some heft here, and I spoke with the harbor master because I have a long history in the harbor and the beach park, and I've also spoken with the police chief, and we even had a meeting in our tent down in the marina with all of the homeowners associations around here about it. And so we decided to appear, I did, join them. I knew it was going to be on the agenda, Pokemon Go, with the harbor master and the police chief. So I showed up to speak in the public comment section. And what I said and what the harbor master and the police chief said, our city council listened to us.
Okay.
And a motion was made and immediately seconded, and it was voted on unanimously to ban Pokemon Go, not only at the marina and the beach park, but the entire city of Des Moines, Washington.
God, how can they do that, though?
Well, we were remiss, the harbor master, myself, and the police chief. Because if we would have done our homework, we would have realized that it is impossible for us to opt out.
You can't.
No, you can only opt out 30 days after you sign up to play Pokemon Go. So it's been really interesting for me because, you know, I like to spend a lot of time. 11 years, I was a beach naturalist on the beach down there. So I used to walk down there all the time. But I walk down there and I feel like I'm walking in a sea of zombies.
Are they everywhere?
Oh, hundreds of them. And so, and there, you know, all of the, there's a whole bunch of condos sitting on the marina floor. They've had to put up tape and ladders and signs keeping them off the private property.
Jeez. And they're all running around with their smartphones, right?
Yes, yes. So as I walk, you know, I go by them and I just go, zombies, zombies, zombies. And I get so many laughs. But if I see a mother and a father with kids, I speak to them. But I've been thinking, you know, since we can't opt out, I got to meet with these harbor master, the police chief, and see, you know, what can we do in the city council? You know, if we can just pass a ban on it in our city and do it that way, because Pokemon Go won't let us opt out.
I don't know if you can ban things like that. It's on the internet. Isn't that free speech?
Yeah. And what I have come to, George, and like you said, timing is it. And it just delights me that I can share what I said to the city council, or what I not exactly what I said to the city council, but what I think I'm going to start saying to those people down there. And that would be, congratulations, Pokemon Go player. You have successfully become a subject of the biggest mind programming experiment that has ever happened.
You may be right. You may be right, Allie. Hey, thanks for the call. This could very well be a mind experiment. Tom, what do you got for us?
Right. She's right. It's amazing. It's the Pokemon thing.
I don't get the game, though. Do you? I have to study.
You use a GPS, and you're looking for Pokemon.
Which is a funny-looking creature, right?
It's like a cartoon. I never watched his stuff, so yeah.
Is there a TV show on him?
I think so.
All right.
I think so, Pokemon. This is a text from Carolyn in Washington, D.C. My caregiver asked me the other night what I was listening to, and it was hard to explain. My question, how do you describe Coast to Coast to your people and friends?
I tell them that we are a program that deals with the minds of the universe. Conspiracies, paranormal, supernatural, death, life after death, ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, and stories of entertainment and alternative medicine. It's a potpourri of things that affect all of us in our day-to-day lives. Yeah. That's what it is.
I just say anything unexplained. It's easier. You know,
mysteries.
Yes.
All of it. All of the above.
There you go, Carolyn.
All right. Let's go to Jim in Greenville, South Carolina. Hey, Jim, take it away. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Hi.
First of all, our prayers go out to the earthquake victims in Italy and tornado victims out around Kokomo.
Very nice of you. Thank you.
Thank you. The pet peeves for driving, the list would be somewhat long, but I agree with you about the headlights.
Oh, frustrating.
Yes, especially when it's raining and it's not so they can see, as you said, it's so other people can see them.
That's right.
I think it might be time. I'm a motorcyclist, and they took the switch off of motorcycles years ago. You crank the bike, the headlight comes on. And maybe it's time to do that with cars also.
That's not a bad idea. At all. You know, I've got that automatic switch on my car, but if somebody plays around with it like a valet guy,
right.
You got to remember, oh my God, you know, you're so used to having it on, you don't check it. You drive away for a little bit and you realize my lights aren't on.
That's it. Is Joshua going to be able to show you around a bit while you're in the area?
Yeah, we're going to get together on Friday, Jim, and he's going to do that. And then we've got a full rehearsal early Saturday. And then the program starts, I believe, at 5 o'clock. It's a pretty early start date. Most of my shows start at 7. This one starts at 5 o'clock, and they tell me it's going to start right on the button. But he's going to show me around.
There's some breaking news about the Brown Mountain Lights, which is local to the area. And be sure and have him take you on the Blue Ridge Parkway at least a couple of miles.
I will do that. And what's some of the breaking news? What's going on?
One of the local colleges had set up cameras there, and they were about to take the cameras down, and they caught the lights for the first time. And I believe Joshua, of course, they had him on the local news.
Yeah, he was talking about that the Friday.
He said he had been going there for years and had only seen them a couple of times, so it's quite unique. But it's local lore, and some area singers have had songs about it, so most North Carolinians, South Carolinians know about it.
Well, how far away are you from Asheville, even though you're in South Carolina?
Oh, my goodness. Hour and 15 minutes.
Are you coming out for the show?
The timing's not going to work out this time. Kind of hate, but, you know, there'll be other times, I hope.
Okay, and if you happen to come out there, definitely introduce yourself to us in the meet and greet after the show. Let's go to Raul, truck driving in Florida, east of the Rockies. Hey there, Raul. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, George. How you doing?
Good.
George, I'm driving across Alligator Alley, so I didn't have time to look it up. But many years ago, it was all over the news about your pet peeve. There was a gang initiation, I think it was in L.A., where they were supposed to drive with their headlights off, and then when somebody signaled them to turn the lights on, they were supposed to make a U-turn, turn around, and shoot them.
Yeah, I had heard about that. You're absolutely right.
I think it was in L.A., if I remember correctly. But, yeah, that was pretty scary. You know, you're trying to signal somebody.
To help them. Out, yeah.
And they turn around and try to shoot you, you know. My pet peeve as a truck driver is when people drive around with their high beams on. Oh, my God, it's just terrible. It's, you know, we can't just flip the mirror and shut it off like on your car.
Exactly.
So it's just it's terrible, especially with those new LEDs, you know.
They're bright.
Oh, my God, it's just terrible. But thanks for taking my call, George.
All right, well, you be good, Raul. Drive carefully. Thanks for keeping the country moving along. Let's go to Goldsboro, North Carolina now. Ronald's turn on Coast to Coast. Ronald!
Sir, Mr. Norrie.
Hello.
Were you in the service in 1975.
I was not. I didn't go in until 1981.
Oh, okay. I wonder, I put a lot of stock in what you've got to say. What do you think of the difference between the Syrian refugee who comes to the United States and who don't, and what happened in Vietnam when I was at Tan Son Airport? Their helicopters only took women and children out, and men were on the fence line crying.
Oh, they forgot. That Vietnam War was probably one of the worst mistakes we've ever made as a nation, and we've made a lot. But that whole situation was just horrible. I've got some dear friends who are Vietnamese, and they have told me some stories that will just chill you of things that had happened a long time ago. Horrible situations all around. But the current situation at Syria is just devastating. That was once a gorgeous country, and most of their cities, Aleppo, all of them are all decimated. It's horrible. And I still don't know who we're backing. I really don't. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. Scott in Iowa, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Scott.
Hi, George. I hope you and Tommy are doing well.
Yes, thank you.
Good. Yeah, I'm just sick of the news media. Now, I know a bazillion people could call you on that. But what I mean basically is, the like I told you, Screener, the TV news. It's CD. I just think it should be recycled.
Local and, or national or both?
Well, local's not too bad, but, you know, when you get into the national news, it seems to be seedy. There was an old rock and roll song about that, you know, kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then some guy lies. And, you know, you find out he gets demoted, but he's still making $10 million a year. Well, yeah. You know, I just don't understand that. And it goes much deeper. We all know that. But then again, when you do the news, I know people that don't have time to listen to your show all night, but they love your news or something out of Tommy or whatever.
Yeah.
George Knapp, why can't the regular news media do something like that?
I don't know. That's a good question. You know, ours is kind of unique, something we've done. And a lot of that is, you know, my experience as a television news producer for years. I started doing that in 1974 until 78. I was an executive news producer in Detroit. Then I was a news director, and I've done that all my life. And, you know, what we do if in the news portion of this program when we start the show is we try to pick stories that are topical, breaking, with a coast twist, but also the unusual stories, the strange stories, you know, like the guy from India who had 40 knives taken out of his stomach. I mean, that's a pretty good human interest story, if you ask me. And I can't believe how fast this night is going, but we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take some final phone calls for you during our open lines. Tom will still take a final tweet or text message from you as well. So fire away, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're back with our final segment of Open Lines here for you, and let's go to Julia in the state of Texas. Hey, Julia, what city are you in?
It's Julie, but anyway, I'm in the state of Texas.
I missed your city. Whereabouts?
Texas, El Paso.
El Paso. Great. Good to have you with us, Julie.
Well, the only reason I'm calling, George, because you and Tommy and the rest of the Coast to Coast family, you're like my family.
We are your family. Yes.
Yeah. On July 3rd, I had a German Shepherd. Her name was Sugar Bear, and I had her for about 17 years. And it just happened, like, from one day to the next, she stopped eating, she stopped drinking. So I had to take her to the Humane Society and put her down. And I tell you, George, that was one of the, I mean, I put down dogs before, but I mean, it was so hard.
It's not easy.
And I need you to put me on the prayer list because I'm finding it very difficult to get along without her. I'm trying to see if I can go get a CNI dog because I feel I need I need, you know, protection, and I need to get out of here.
Yeah, and you need that companion again. And I have found with people who have lost their loved pets, though you'll never replace them, if you know what I mean, but getting another one with their own little personalities and quirks helps a lot.
You know, I wish the Humane Society and all these organizations would have groups where you could talk to people that are grieving, because it's very difficult.
That's interesting, and, like a grieving animal ownership group.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd be willing to start one. But anyway, one more thing before I leave.
Yeah.
That advice you gave that lady that was blind about the Ouija board, when I was a little kid, I was about 10 years old, my mama bought me one, and we played with it. I mean, we did play with it, and my cousins would tell me what it would say because I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But when my mom found out, I don't know how she found out what it was. She got it, and she threw it in the fireplace, and you actually heard someone screaming.
When it was burning, right?
Yes, when it was burning, George. That is so weird.
I know it. It's strange stuff. Thanks, Julie.
Well, listen, you have a safe trip, you and Tommy, okay?
Thank you. Have fun. You too.
Bye-bye.
We're gonna do that.
Great.
We will do that. You will be on the prayer list every Friday. Folks, don't forget, take a little time and just pray for people on this unpublished list about things that are important to them. Joe in the Bronx. Hi, Joe.
George, how are you?
Good. All is well here.
George, I recently heard a story about a Earth-like planet in the next galaxy. I believe it's Alpha Centaurus, called Proxima B.
Yep. We just had that story with Dr. Sky at the...
Right. What do you think of that? I mean, it's supporting plant life and all.
Well, you know what? They say that it could very well harbor some kind of life, and it's a strong possibility. I happen to believe that there are zillions of Earth-like planets out there teeming with life, intelligent life, too. I don't think we're alone.
Thank you.
At all. We are not alone in the universe. Final text or tweet with Tom Danheiser.
It is going to be a tweet. It's from Steve. And Steve says, hey, George, do you think China is going to beat us to the U.S. and back to the moon?
Well, they're not going to beat us because we've already been there. But they're going to get us... The second time, I think.
That's what he means, yeah.
I don't think we're going to go back for a while.
You think they'll beat us there?
Yeah, China's coming along really, really strong. It's a shame that we kind of gave it up.
It is. It's a real shame.
Some say we gave it up because the ETs told us to give it up. I'm not so sure about that.
I don't think so.
No. All right, thanks, Tom, and thanks for that, and I'll see you in Asheville.
We will. You know what? I'm still kind of bummed for, what was his name that tore up his ticket? Tom from the Bronx.
Oh, you mean his lottery?
Oh, yeah.
Ticket. Oh, $1 million plus. Gone.
Well,
Unbelievable.
Kicking myself forever. If
truly unbelievable.
Sad stuff.
Okay. Travel well, Tommy. Don in Melbourne, Florida. Welcome to the show. Hi, Don. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you something. Maybe somebody else has asked this. I try to get you on the paranormal night, you know? And I was wondering, did anybody ever ask a question, or do you... I know you believe in ghosts, not ghosts, but paranormal stuff. I do.
Yeah, I do, of course.
Yeah, my girlfriend died 6 months ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, thanks. And I was just wondering, I know she's come to visit me and stuff, and I was just wondering, did anybody ever ask you to... or anybody ever ask anybody that, do they have feelings on the other side? Do they know that how much we hurt here? Like, do they still have, like, a feeling that we're hurting when they see us being sad and stuff? Anybody ever ask that question?
I think yes. I think they sense our emotions and how we feel and what we do. I don't think they have emotions anymore, but I think they sense ours.
Yeah, because sometimes I walk in the woods with me and her used to walk, and I always get something different now, you know, something strange when I talk to her and stuff, you know? So I always think they must look at us and say, you know, they're sad without us, you know what I mean?
What happened to her, Donnie?
She had cancer, and which I took care of her the last few months before she died. She had a feeding tube and stuff, and, you know, she's better off, I guess, gone, you know, but sometimes I wish she was still here, even sick, and I said to myself, boy, am I selfish to think like that, you know?
Yeah,
Yeah, it gets to you, you know.
Well, but otherwise, yeah.
I
was going to tell you something else. I got rid of my newspaper that I was getting for $35 a month, and I'm an insider, and I listen to this instead of the news. I'm glad you don't do that news thing, man. I can't take that Hillary, the Clinton, and the Trump, man. It's just too much anymore, you know?
I can't wait for the election to get over.
Yeah, I wish they'd vote tomorrow and get it over.
Yeah, and be done, and let's see what happens. All right, Donnie. Thanks. Appreciate it. And again, sorry for your loss. David in the state of Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, David.
Hey. Okay, I'm going to try to spit this out because I'm sure you got other people waiting.
I had
a friend here who is now doing time. He went down that dark road of methamphetamine, and he was actually at a site where they were manufacturing it. While he was out there and this was going on, a friend of his, a girl, was taking a picture of another girl. In fact, she took two pictures. And the reason she was taking the pictures, obviously, is she could see the subject she was photographing. When these pictures came out, she was standing on the other side of a burning barrel. That's where they were photographing. Two of these pictures came out, and one of them, you can see that the flame appears to be like 4 feet high, even though, remember now, when she was taking the picture, the flames was barely licking the burning barrel because she could see the girl on the other side. Well, in the first picture, you can see suggestions of stuff. You could use your imagination, like if you see Snoopy in a cloud, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the second picture is just shocking and jaw-dropping. There's an actual, for want of a better term, a demonic-looking creature that the fire has turned into.
I've seen that happen in some other types of fires as well. You get this demonic-looking devil face in a fire. It's happened. It's really strange stuff. International line, we've got Corey in Montreal. Hi, Corey. Go ahead. Corey? Nope. Corey is gone. Let's go to Pat in Palm Coast, Florida. Hey, Pat, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, Pat. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. About a month ago, I heard you talking to a guy about baseball, and y'all were talking about the Yankees, and you said you were a Detroit fan.
Yes.
When I was about 12 years old, guy that lives in our neighborhood gathered up a bunch of kids and took us to Baltimore to see Baltimore and New York play. And we were sitting behind the Orioles dugout on the third base side. And I was a Yankee fan at the time. And when Mickey Mantle walked out of the dugout, the whole stadium just came to complete silence.
They were in awe, weren't they?
And that's the only time in my whole life I really had my jaw was actually down. You know, my jaw dropped. And it was like a religious experience the first time I saw him. But the story, it was in 61. And the second game that we went to, Roger Maris, of course, that was the year he broke.
That was his big year, right?
Right. He hit a long fly ball to center field. And have you ever seen that clip of Canseco going back and the ball hitting him in the head and bouncing over the fence?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is what happened. The center fielder, his name was Willie Kirkland, went back, and he was about on the warning track. It wasn't like he was just a foot away from the fence. And the ball came down, and he misjudged it, and it hit him in the head and bounced the 15 feet that the ball lacked over the fence. And if he had caught just a normal routine fly ball, Maris would not have broken Ruth's record. That's how one of his home runs happened.
Fate indeed.
Yep. And very few people would know that. I just happened to remember it after 60-some years, you know, when you told them we're talking about that. But one of the things that in listening to your show that I've wondered about, you know, ships like the Titanic, you know, have gone down and mm-hmm. not everybody got out. There were people left on the boat. Have you ever heard of if ghost or seen underwater?
I'm not sure about whether ghosts have been spotted underwater or if they've seen some ghostly apparition underwater, but there have been definitely hauntings on ships. The Queen Mary is supposed to be haunted I've been on it a couple times, and I haven't experienced anything, but there's supposed to be the voice of a little girl who may have drowned on the ship, and it's just strange stuff. But no, I haven't heard any stories of ghosts underwater.
Well, another thing I was wondering about in listening to your show, you talk about reincarnation. You know, one soul can have, you know, hundreds of bodies, you know, that it has lived in.
That's right.
Former lives. Well, when it comes to the end of time, maybe you can ask one of your guests, you know, how does that work? Because the body is nothing but a body. It is run by the soul that's in the body. And when time comes to divide up the people, who's going to hell, who's going to heaven, one soul may have been in, you know, several bodies, and that may have been a good person, and it could have been a bad person. You know, how is that going to be divided up when the time comes? So if you've been in 10 different bodies, or you've had 10 different lives, and five of them were good and five of them were bad, you know, what? To me, that was kind of mind-blowing when I finally came up with a question like that.
And in terms of, you know, what are they going to be during the last moment?
Yeah, you know, when Jesus comes back to, you know, take the people with him, you know.
And so I don't think they're coming back in body form.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, the soul. You know, if it has lived in five bodies that were, you know, lived a good life, and five bodies that lived a bad life, you know, what would happen to that soul?
I think it's just the same soul, just the one soul, regardless of how many bodies it's been in. And so, you know, they've occupied the body, but that there are many, many different souls. Let's go to John now in Long Island, New York. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Good morning, George. I just have a pet peeve.
Sure.
You know when you walk into supermarkets and then when they line up merchandise right there in the doorway?
Right.
And people just like bunch up because people are shopping right there in the doorway.
Yeah, you can't get in.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, they don't need to put merchandise in the doorway. Just put it into the store.
They love doing that, though, because it's a quick sell.
I guess.
And let me tell you, the other thing they do is the candy and the stuff as you leave in the checkout counter. It's all over the place because those are, and they know this by studies, impulse buying. Impulse buying, and that's how they sell those. You generally won't buy them if you go by the aisle. But, man, if you're there in line ready to check out and you see that little Hershey's candy bar, you just grab it and there you are. Let's go to Richard in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Rich, go ahead.
Thank you. I have a pet peeve. It's people who believe they know everything. They sort of piss off those of us who do.
I love that. That's kind of neat in a different kind of way. I think we're almost out of time. We've only got about 50 seconds left, so I might as well tell you again a little bit of what's in store for the rest of the week. We've got Linda Moulton Howe tomorrow. She is back, special guest for you the first hour, but then 3 hours of Linda, including, of course, conversations with Linda. So we're going to do that in the last hour of the program. Jimmy Church filling in for me on Friday while I fly to Asheville, North Carolina. In addition to Ghost on Extraterrestrials, he's going to have open lines for you as well. And then tomorrow I'll tell you what's in store for the rest of the week on Saturday and Sunday. And then we hit the deck again for you on Monday. And don't forget, we will have a live program for you on Labor Day Monday night for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Every holiday, all the time, we will be live for you. No tapes. You don't have to worry about that at all. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.